All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again on Did You Know, the ESCO HVAC podcast. So we are spending some time at the Allied Air DSR conference. And Brandon, how's it going?
Good.
You know, we kind of chatted before we got here, kind of talking about like what topics we wanted to dive into. Because really, you know, like we're here at the conference, it's a whole bunch of, you know, DSRs that are, you know, learning the newest technologies, getting comfortable with our new refrigerants and the refrigerant detection. And so there's like all this new buzz stuff, right? But I think kind of at the heart, it like comes back down to the basics, doesn't it?
Yeah, it always does. Yeah. That's why I like HVAC.
Yeah.
Because it's complicated, but it's simple at the same time. It's
right. Physics.
Yeah. If you follow the rules and do everything right, everything works right.
Yeah.
And it all starts with the basics, man. Just clean installs, following all the rules. And that ensures that the equipment works.
That's it. I mean, when we look at like the practices that we're using, the same practice we've been using for 50, 70 years, you know, it really comes down to those right installations. Yeah. Like even when we make these refrigerant transitions, you know, like we talk about here at ESCO all the time, like we don't care if the next refrigerant's milk, we're just going to learn how to work on it.
Yeah. It's still the refrigeration cycle.
That's right.
You know, you still have to run nitrogen while you're brazing. It's like all the rules still apply. It's just, they become so much more important.
Yep.
Everything's becoming more efficient. More efficient means tighter tolerances.
Yeah.
Like there's no, we don't have that fudge factor anymore.
No.
There's no room for that.
No.
I mean, let's be honest. Like what's the whole purpose of a filter dryer? It's to clean up a bad install.
That
really is
it. Yeah. If it was done right, we wouldn't even need it.
I mean, we see that now in our VRF equipment.
Exactly. I mean, think about like a VRF, right? It's designed to have screens to help protect an electronic expansion valve from debris in a catastrophic failure.
Right.
That's really it.
That's it.
Because otherwise we don't need it, right? If there's no moisture, air introduced, or any contaminations, condensables introduced into a system, then we don't really need that filter in there, right?
Yep.
And so we've gotten used to using those and installing those as a preventative. But now we're getting to a point where we're doing a lot more ductless installations. We're doing a lot of inverter installations.
Yeah.
And I think it's critical for us to understand that our installation really determines the life expectancy of the equipment.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, and overall capacity.
Yes.
I mean, that's a huge thing.
Right.
You know, I work for Thomas Somerville.
Yeah.
So they've been in business since Lincoln was president.
Oh, wow. That's crazy to think
about. Yeah.
Isn't
they started
it?
Off as a foundry, but we've been doing HVAC for 25 years now. And formerly, I was a customer of theirs.
Okay.
And, you know, just it's a lot running a business, helping run a business, what have you. And I needed to change.
Right.
So they were like, man, we'd love to have somebody like you on our team.
Yeah, it's got the experience, has already been out in the field, knows what it's like, knows how to communicate to people.
That's what it was. They pretty much approached me telling me like they wanted to do something different.
Yeah.
And really support our customers. And man, learning, one, I was worried that I'd lose my edge.
Yeah.
Like if I'm not out there working.
Yeah, if I'm not in the field, can I stick with it?
I'd lose it. But I mean, sharper than ever.
Yeah.
But really, it shed a light on how much, like, the industry is really hurting in an aspect. Just people not knowing what they're doing, thinking they're just going to braze a unit in, turn it on, and walk away. And that's not how the equipment is these days.
No. Unfortunately, back in the R22 days, a lot of bad habits were masked by the equipment, right?
Yep.
You know, there was just enough fudge factor allowed in them that they could still run. It may not be running great, but they would still run.
Right.
But as we've, you know, changed compressor types and oil types and refrigerant types,
metering devices,
and we're using so many more, you know, new, very sophisticated controls, thermistors, pressure transducers, things that are more critical in the system, it really gets back to we have to master the basics.
For sure. I mean, so commonly, I take ton of tech support calls.
Yeah.
Not to say that our customers don't know what they're doing or anything, but
right.
I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of them, you know, it's an aging industry.
Oh yeah.
And no, they're not used to seeing inverters.
No.
And communication boards and transducers. So when they get a problem and something doesn't perform the way they expect it to, it's immediately like overload.
Right.
And they call. And 9 times out of 10, one of the first things I walk someone through is just setting up proper airflow.
Yeah. Oh, I'm. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're not just a PSC motor with two or three speeds. Yeah. It's
everyone assumes that it comes in cooling speed and it's ready to roll.
Everyone, yes. So, I mean, like I said, it's the basics. Right. I spend most of my days going over static pressure, how to use a velometer, checking your subcooling. And when we're checking subcooling, are we in a Y1? Are we fully staged up?
Are you running 100%?
It's all day, every
day. So what are like the most common tech support calls that you're getting?
So with the refrigerant change, you know, as Kyle Brown of Allied says, these instruction manuals become knee pads.
Yeah.
And people don't tend to look at them. And so a lot of it is just common setup. Like our RDS board, you gotta flip a dip switch on to let it know that there's a sensor.
It's here.
I can't tell you the endless amount of calls we've received just on, this board's blinking red. And it's just turning on a dip switch. And I mean, you look like Rockstar because in 2 seconds you can tell them, hey, turn on this dip switch.
Page 26, paragraph 3, line 2. Mm-hmm. Here's the big bold words that are telling you, but yet no one actually is looking.
Yeah, I mean, and at the end of the day, I mean, I did a lot of high-end work when I was in the field.
Yeah.
A lot of very complicated machines, and I stressed over. I would sit there and read manuals a week before I have to go do my install.
Absolutely.
And it's just that doesn't seem to be the common trend these days.
No, and it's sad because that really is what makes a good technician.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I didn't go to trade school myself. I didn't learn good practices until later in life.
Right.
So I had to learn along the way. Later, I went back, you know, to trade schools to take classes and get better at what I'm doing.
I followed the same path.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to get better, but what I found was I'd gotten myself to a pretty decent point because I read manuals. That was it.
Yeah, man.
It wasn't like I was going home and reading, you know, modern refrigeration. I mean, I use it as a reference or, you know, air conditioning, refrigerated technology.
But I mean, things like what you're doing right now, this podcast, the podcast, the things on YouTube, like you can gain a wealth of
information
just by watching your phone a lot.
Yep.
But then you go and start applying that to real life situations and you're shocked with what you find out. And I mean, that's a big one.
Yep.
Commonly, I have a lot of people trying to change TXVs.
Oh my gosh.
It's... often the call comes in, well, I just changed this TXV.
Right.
And it didn't fix the problem. Well, yeah, it's because that wasn't the
problem.
The issue.
Let's go back to your root.
Yeah. So it's a lot of it is just, and I don't want to knock anyone. Everyone starts at a different point. And I do find that our customer base, it is starting to change. We are getting some younger guys involved and they are all very thirsty.
Yeah, they're hungry.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah. Our new technicians are hungry for information. Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we just opened up a new training lab in Seaford, Delaware, and we are doing our best to set up scenarios, you know, have blowers and show people what
some
happens.
Things that you'll find.
Yeah. What happens when you have high static to this motor? How do you interpret that? And all the different scenarios you can run into. And let's be honest, if you're in the HVAC trade, you probably are a hands-on kind of person.
Oh, yeah.
So to have that stuff hands-on, live to test, I feel like it's much easier to gain the information and the right processes to troubleshoot.
Yeah, you're right. You know, when we look at the generation of, you know, young men and women coming into the industry, they're coming in with a lot of intellectual skills, right?
Right.
A lot of technology. And what they're hungry for is those mechanical skills.
Yes.
You know, I was just sharing a story with a couple of other guys out on break. Was I had my own son, 26 years old, he's a firefighter.
Right.
You know, he's a pretty manly dude. We were working on a project at his house that he just bought. And I'm like, hey, son, I need you to go cut this piece of wood at, you know, it's like 1 5/16 or something. And he's like, where's that at? I'm like, what? And he's like, where's that at? Which one of the marks is that? I'm like, did I fail? Did like civilization fail?
Yes.
An entire generation or two?
It almost seems like
I think we did.
Yeah. It's bouncing back from it.
Yeah,
you know?
We are.
I really do feel that way. Uh-huh. And I mean, inevitably, if you're not out there learning and figuring this new equipment out, you're going to fail.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's not going to run.
No.
It's not going to operate as it should. Yeah. And, you know, especially with, you know, we just left the refrigeration class upstairs. Yep. And with having that larger temperature glide with 454B, I mean, you start topping off something like that, which, you know, we shouldn't be doing it to A2L refrigerator. We shouldn't be doing it to any.
Anyhow, we should know what's in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the amount that changes its operation.
Yep.
I mean, 2 extra degrees on that temperature glide, you're losing out on 5,000 BTUs an hour.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane.
Right. Think about like how quickly we can make that system inefficient just not being educated.
Yep. I mean, and startup.
Right.
Everybody felt like when you turn the unit on, all right, it's time to pack up the tools.
Yeah.
When no, we have to let it
run.
There's
a lot that's got to balance out.
It has to balance out.
Yeah.
You have to take your readings. You have to, you know, do the startup sheet that's in the back of the manual.
Right.
You know, take that time. And it's a make or break for the equipment for sure, especially when it comes to longevity.
Sure. So like on the tech support side, is that like what kind of information are you requiring from technicians? Are you starting to look for more information from them to be able to help them out?
I'm always modeling serial number.
Yeah.
I like to get my job info, and we now have a searchable log to where if you've called before on a serial number, I can pull that up. So that's huge.
Oh, cool.
Allied now has that as well.
I can
pull that up through Allied as well. And then, I'm always starting off incoming voltage. It's the basics.
Yeah.
You know,
back to the basics.
Yeah. It's what's my power coming in? Where's it stopping at? I'm recording my pressures, all my temperatures, subcooling, delta T. And, you know, the other thing is, too, we need to step it up. It's not just, okay, we took a static pressure reading.
Right.
How'd you go about reading
it? Right. Where did you get it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would love to be able to have an air hood on every job. Mm-hmm. It's not likely.
No.
But I mean, I do know companies that are out there doing it.
Yeah.
And that's a much more efficient system.
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of developments in airflow measuring. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen a lot of companies starting to produce things like the TrueFlow Grid.
Yes.
You know, does a really good job measuring airflow. We're starting to see a lot of the manufacturers calculating airflow in their communicating thermostats and their communicating systems. I mean, it's critical because with these, especially with the inverters, man, if the airflow is off on them, you know, there's even like people will look at a, you know, an ECM constant airflow and go, well, you know, it's a little forgiving. No, it's not. There's always something that's going to sacrifice, you know, when it's fighting against pressure.
Especially with where I live on in Maryland.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's not Florida, but I mean, we get very humid days.
Sure.
And if you don't have that thing dialed in right, you're not going to get rid of the latent load at all.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's why I find a lot of.
So you get calls, tech support calls on that?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
And it's critical to do a manual J, man.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people are doing it.
No, I agree. I'd say most are not.
And I find that a lot of people really don't understand what a manual J is.
Yeah.
I know that because we will do manual J's for people if you provide me with the right information.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So many people will just give me a room.
Yeah.
It's a square drawn on sheet paper.
Give me some dimensions. How thick these
no
walls?
No windows. Right. No insulation. What's under it? What's above it? Nothing.
Yeah.
So
wow.
That just goes to show you like we have to do a better job of getting that info out there.
Yep.
I mean, that's what we're trying to do.
Yep, that's super
and that's
cool.
Part of our call log tracking is it's I also select what was the root cause of the issue, what was the outcome, and what was needed to get it right. Because that way I can actually run a report in my system and say, oh, well, so many of these calls were airflow settings.
Yeah, with this particular thing.
So many of these calls were TXVs.
Right.
And then I can curtail what our training
should be looking like.
For individual customers.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So it's, and you know, the technology these days, it's scary, but at the same time, if you use it right.
It's very useful.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah, I get that. You know, one of the biggest things like with the airflow with inverters is it took me a little bit of rethinking, right?
Yeah.
One of our old principles was, you know, if I'm going to try to remove some latent, right? I'm going to reduce airflow, right?
Slow
you don't,
it down.
Yeah, you don't do that on an inverter because now we're going to reduce capacity,
exactly.
Right? These things are going to be, you know, floating on superheat, right? They're going to be looking at discharge temperatures. And so when we start reducing an airflow, all we're doing is reducing capacity, which is even further reducing dehumidification.
Yep.
So you're right. The whole setup is crucial. And without, you know, going to classes and learning about what's changing, we're going to see a lot of contractors getting behind.
Yeah.
So what are you guys doing in the training training realm. I know you're here for training to learn what's going on, to learn how to better serve the contractors and your clientele. Like, mm-hmm. what do you guys do for training?
So, well, we also deal with LG,
yeah.
mini split. So I run that class. That's a service and install class.
Nice.
We do that every month in two separate locations.
Mm-hmm.
And then once again, we're actually working on doing training specifically for our customers' requests.
Cool.
Once again, using that call log software that
yeah,
we have
yeah.
to like basically generate a report.
Yeah, build. What do we need?
And say,
what do they need?
Yeah, and so nothing is really cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
We have our basic, hey, here's our Allied equipment. These are the dip switch settings. This is how we charge it. And it's all your basics.
Right.
And then from there, it's more of a personal touch.
Yeah, let's go a little deeper. What are you missing?
Exactly.
What can I help you understand that you don't currently quite know?
And if the owner of the company knows that off the bat,
yeah.
great. Sure, we will curtail a class for that.
Yep.
But so many of them, you know, you hear, oh, well, these units,
right.
you know, all the TXVs are
yeah.
bad
these
and
are all
the time. And
all
then
of them.
that's what triggers us to say, okay,
yeah.
let's start looking through some of these call logs and figure out what's actually going on.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, have you noticed that this crew, every single system installed
yep.
is getting these same numbers?
Yep.
Maybe we should take a look and see if they understand dip switch setups for airflow. Yeah,
exactly. I had that exact situation happen where it was thrown up that all our TXVs are bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense given the number that we sell.
Yeah.
So looking through it, going back through my call logs, I was like, oh, yeah, I've talked to five of your uppermost technicians.
Mm-hmm.
And all five of them, we had to adjust airflow by 200, 300, 400 CFM.
Wow.
Right. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
After you've already changed your TXV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, it used to always be the comparison of mini splits to unitary.
Right.
But now, I mean,
it's all in the same realm.
I mean, what do you think? 10 mm-hmm. more years? 10 more years and everything's an inverter?
If that.
Yeah.
I've already seen one manufacturer that has flipped their portfolio.
Right.
They went from 80% single stage and 20 stage and a 20% inverter
right.
to a 20% single stage, two stage for contractor only.
Right.
And 80% inverter.
Yeah.
Like that in a 1 year.
I mean, and it's a no-brainer,
yeah.
right? We're electrifying America.
Right.
Well, I don't see a lot of upgrades on our grid anywhere.
No, we're going to have to modulate the load that we put on our grid.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm like with you. I don't see new cables getting ran.
Nowhere. So it's like, yeah, well, we're going to have to do something. And inverter is a good fix for that.
It is.
But, I mean, that also means we need good surge protection.
Mm-hmm.
And surge protection
Massive.
Is not voltage protection.
Right.
Voltage, I mean, everybody seems to be getting on board with installing that surge protector with an inverter.
Yeah.
They forget about the ECM fan.
True.
And why are those failing?
Still inside on its
yeah,
own circuit.
Exactly.
Right.
But on the other side of that is that plus or minus 10% of what your nameplate voltage is. If you're not protecting that unit from that.
Yep.
And then you get the guy who's like, well, I had a surge protector on. Why'd all these boards fry? And I just took a call today sitting mm-hmm. in class and he has 253 volts coming in.
Wow.
Yeah. And it fluctuates.
Right.
Fluctuates crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 volt swings on the regular. So if you're not doing that mm-hmm. and you're not protecting that, yeah, it's gonna
have some problems.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So where can we learn more about like your company, what you're doing in the industry?
Well, we have a TSCO online.
Okay.
TSC online.
Mm-hmm.
That's our website for all our products and stuff.
Okay.
We tie in all our service manuals that we have for the equipment there.
Right.
We do have a YouTube channel, and we're not
nice.
Posting everything yet, but we are going
to
be doing some
Starting
quick hit
out.
Videos and
oh,
stuff
yeah.
like that on there. Just things that, you know, if our customers have green guys that are unfamiliar, maybe they couldn't make it to a training.
Exactly.
Bam, they can watch that video real quick, and it would be product specific,
yeah.
not just general.
Not generalized.
Terms.
Yeah,
right.
That product specific training is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
That, and like I said, we regularly, upon request, I mm-hmm. go out and do trainings all the time.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we just try to be available, and that's the big thing. I answer mm-hmm. my phone every night on the weekends. If I'm not yeah. doing a class or already on a call,
yeah.
I answer my phone.
So I get it.
That's really what it's all about, man. They don't yeah. always even need to get an answer. But if they have someone to call, they seem to be
It's moral support. That's what I love about those calls.
Yeah.
Tech support is really more about moral support.
Yeah. I really love the fact of how much they appreciate it.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Literally had a customer tell me, I was like, man, I was hesitant about starting my own company, but I know with y'all's team, we'll take care of it.
Nice.
And it's nice to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Well, I appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you.